Diabetes Breakthrough.
The good news or the bad news first? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America, tonight. I hope you don't think that each and every show we deliver nothing but doom and gloom. Certainly, there are bright spots across this great country. However, we're not starting on that note. A couple of quick things. I think the most shocking statistic on the day, I always say it's about numbers. And why is it always about numbers? I don't know. It's because everything leads to that, I guess. It's whether you're tracking the money, follow the money, and you'll figure out what really happened, or whether we're talking about looking at where we are economically. Of course, that's numbers. It's percentages. And that's the bleak news. People are not any better today than they were 20 years ago. Not any better off. You've heard that old expression, right? So it's just official. The feds are telling us that, if we look at yesterday, 20 years ago, and we look at today, we're looking at a crushing blow to wealth. We're looking at people who are 39% worse off, in other words, 39% drop in wealth. That's from the Federal Reserve, which reported that American families have the same net worth under this administration, this president, that they did 20 years ago when George H.W. Bush occupied the White House. So what has Obama done to boost the economy, the recovery, all that sort of stuff? It is ultimately about what's in your wallet, not because it's about the grab for cash, but it's the need to thrive and survive, or survive and thrive, either way you want to put that. It's the law of abundance. But the law of abundance is not in effect in so many places, and it's not for lack of trying on a lot of people's parts. It's ultimately what's being handed out, whether it's in taxes. That's why taxes is that invisible line, or maybe not so invisible. How can you possibly take away tax breaks, and how can you possibly raise taxes? And the answer is, if only you had been balancing budgets as you went along, then the little painful pinches wouldn't be so bad. But now we're talking about all of us giving half a kidney away because of where we are, how we are lost in all of this, incredibly lost in all of this. You cannot make up the amount of deficits that we're talking about. And we know that the trillions upon trillions, 16 trillion, 17 trillion. And people have these amazing personalities where they can be resilient and bounce back. And we think of all the possibilities and that there ultimately is opportunity if you look for it. But boy, you have to really get a shovel and start digging. And I guess that's the problem, because every single time you seem to make a step forward, we take another step back. And it's that giant, I'm looking for the right adjective, it's that giant government that's hanging above our heads that keeps swinging ultimately the axe in our direction constantly. We, the people, are getting the shaft. And we'll see what happens in the next 5 or 6 months. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, I think, some of the dirtiest pool that we've seen in this 2012 election. And it's partly because all of us have had enough. We have had enough. Speaking of having enough, what's going on in Syria, in recent polls, most Americans say, yeah, Jesus, terrible. It's a crying shame. It's awful. 35 people dead in one of the biggest bombardments since a failed UN mandate ceasefire in April. And Assad's forces are trying to impose control in various provinces. The latest in Homs province, that's what killed the 35 people, they're shelling the troops, gone crazy, and yet nothing changes as to the response. And the reason is because nobody cares deep down about Syria. Nobody cares about what's happening in Syria because we've given so much. What do we have left ultimately to give? Victoria Nuland from the State Department said that it's very disconcerting to see all of the escalated violence.
The concern is that there is a planned new attack on the village of Al-Hafa. This is in addition to ongoing violence in other places of Syria that is being widely reported.
And even though the rhetoric ratchets up, and certainly it's awful what's happening to the people, I still don't see any kind of an investment. Now we're seeing that Amani Horowitz, who's a producer and the host of a documentary film called UN Me, he says that we failed not just in the United States, but we failed the world, saying that fundamentally the issue is our relationship and that we're not living up to the founding principles for what we're failing to do. His film specifically looks at the UN's role in Rwanda as well as other peacekeeping missions that ended in tragedy for civilians, and tying in what's happening in Syria with human rights, saying that the bodies just keep piling up and yet we just push the world into a darker place. So I'm wondering, with all of these polls that are taken and with what I just said, given the economic roller coaster that we're all on, do you feel as though we're turning are back on a country that has its arms out looking for somebody to rescue them, and we're just ignoring it, that we're sitting on top of buried bodies, as he would put it, and we're not doing anything to embrace, change what's going on in a mass slaughter thanks to Assad and what his troops continue to do. What say you? If you want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-KATE. Hey, coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we got a couple of really great guests, including Horace Cooper. We've had him on a couple of different times. He's a constitutional expert, one of the leading voices in the black community for among conservative values. This guy talking about Horace, just great, talking about welfare and what they're trying to do in Michigan, this pilot program that they tried back in 99 that seemed to be working but was cut off at the knees because of an ACLU challenge. But the idea of drug testing people who are on welfare, fair or foul, Horace Cooper will talk about that. And then we're going to talk to a Princeton professor about the importance of liberty and why countries thrive when they have a free society versus being told what to do. So some great stuff coming up in the wings. However, on the flip side, we're going to mix up a couple of different things from the world of sports and some others. Casey Martin back at the U.S. Open. Why is that big? And Rafa Nadal winning the French. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. phases, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control: your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient-dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home-cooked meals, you can cut your food costs in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. Or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More of the best for less guarantee.
Now, don't just walk.
Professor Dan chats with us about the state of where China and Russia are and how the United States, with the liberty, is so incredibly important. You know, that push for liberty and freedoms, which we see Ron Paul really beats the drum with that, how vital that is to continue down that path. And the more people are told, as he saw in China and Russia, what to do, the more struggles they have, because you don't have people with incentive trying to, you know, there's no carrot. There's nothing to chase. So he's written an interesting book about that and really offers up some great philosophy as to why we are where we are and how you need to be able to have that free enterprise and competition where you turn, or you miss the boat and you turn into something completely different. All right, we're going to turn in a different direction here. This is big. The U.S. Open coming up on Thursday and Friday in the world of golf. And there's some good stories. You know, I'm talking about the fact that we want to beat the drum negatively here constantly in the background on America Tonight. But Casey Martin is a guy that has, he's a guy who's successfully weathered the PGA Tour, let's say. He's the University of Oregon golf coach. He sued the PGA Tour for the right to ride in the golf cart in competition because he has a degenerative birth defect that restricts blood flow in his lower right leg and makes it painful to walk. If you remember, Martin was granted an injunction in 98. His case went to the Supreme Court, ruled in his favor in 2001. He wasn't ever anybody who lit up the scoreboard in professional golf, but he decided to try to qualify. He made it through a local qualifier last month, then a 36-hole qualifier, and he medaled just a week or so ago. And so here he is at the U.S. Open, and he's gonna be able to compete. It's his first major championship, since he competed for one 14 years ago at the Olympic Club in San Francisco. So he's back to familiar territory. Here's what Casey Martin had to say.
I don't get to compete much, and so I've gone from basically nothing to the pinnacle of golf, and which is a lot to take in emotionally and mentally, but I'm going to go compete, give it my all, and see what that means. If that means last place, that's what it means. If it means first place, then it's not going to mean first place. But if it, you know, I'm going to take whatever I get and consider this a great experience. They'll have a cart caddy for me out there, too, where I'll park kind of short of the green, and he'll take it to the next tee. And they've been overly accommodating the USGA, which, it's been great. And I think it will work really smoothly this week.
That's great. So he can't have it covered. His caddy has to carry the bag. But the cart caddy helps position the cart from when he tries to get through the crowds and go back to the green and all that kind of stuff back and forth. And Martin now is doing this at 40 years old. How about that? And still has the chops anyway, but you heard his joke there that you want to talk about a shocker. I mean, there would be the story if he were to win the U.S. Open, which is the odds are like 100-1. That would be the big story. That would be the big story, period, not just in the world of sports, but just the feel-good story in general. All right, this is a feel-good story, I guess, in a way, because I think this kid really competes. I wish he were an American. American tennis is in a heap of trouble, I think. But Rafa Nadal beats Novak Djokovic once again, and he wins the French for a seventh time. Rafa, how excited are you?
It's a really emotional day, win another time here. Sure, the seventh is important because I am the player who has more today. But like I said yesterday, you know, that's after. For me, the important thing is win Roland Garros, even if it's the first, second, third, or seventh. No, that's what makes me very happy the way that I played today.
All right, and he should be happy. And finally, the last thing, and this is a big one. If you missed it, Los Angeles, after years and years of trying, they finally win a Stanley Cup, their first Stanley Cup, by beating the Devils in a Game 6. Huge news for hockey fans, however few and far between they might be in L.A. They have to be excited about that. Winning the first Cup is big news for an expansion team that's been around for over four decades. Big news there. They had cops everywhere thinking there might be riots, and from what I understand, not a lot of that going on, so that's good news for that city, because it's a sprawling kind of area, which makes it tough to try to police. If things got out of control, you could have pockets of things happening, bubbling up, riots in different areas, and that makes it much harder. Eric Holder and contempt for Congress has nothing to do with sports. It's sports of a different sort. An aide at the House Oversight and Committee says that the panel is going to seek that charge against the Attorney General over the gun running probe, which, of course, is fast and furious. Daryl Issa has really had enough of Eric Holder. And Eric Holder, I think if he had just given him the documents that were subpoenaed, he wouldn't be in this position in the first place. And Daryl Issa has said, if you give us the documents, we'll just drop the whole contempt deal. We won't even pursue it any longer. But that's not what Holder or the DOJ seems to be doing, unless it's a wild game of chicken to see who flinches first. But I don't think so. I think that the pursuit is hot and heavy at this point, and it's more about what could he possibly be hiding? Why won't you show us those documents? And the Department of Justice and the White House is saying, look, we've given you tens and thousands of documents, so I don't see what the big deal is. I don't understand. So is this like the creepy box of important material that tells us exactly what happened is hidden away? Whoops, we lost it somewhere. It's back in the archives. We've already given you pounds and pounds of our flesh and our documents, so we're not giving you the last bit of them. I don't think so, because why wouldn't they do it? So the House Oversight and Government Affairs Committee, loaded with, I believe, the seriousness of wanting to pursue this and go after Holder for contempt. It's only happened a handful of times in the last 30 years. If they had just dumped the documents, and if they still dump the documents, then they won't pursue this. ISA has clearly said that. If you give us the documents, then we're not going to continue to pursue it. The Justice Department says, look, we've produced 7,600 pages of documents to this committee, and we're not giving any more. We're not giving any more. The Justice Department says many of the documents deal with open criminal investigations and prosecutions, and it's too sensitive. They don't want it disclosed. Do you believe that? Do you believe what they're selling? Or do you think there might be other sensitive information in there that talks about the guns that were shipped around the shops on the U.S. side of the border, how did they wind up in Mexico, and crime scenes and all that other stuff? And the House Oversight Government Reform Committee says we need to look at those records regarding just that. That's what we need to look at. Then we know. The contempt of Congress is used when the House or Senate wants to punish a witness for not complying. It's pretty obvious what it does. And to deter other people from similar ways of behaving, from that same conduct, because they don't want to have to deal with that either. Very excited about our next guest, as I said, the professor from Princeton next. You'll want to hear what he has to say, so sit back, grab a cold one, water that is, or coffee, a hot one, and take a listen.
Summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Here we are talking about liberty again. You know this. I grew up in Philadelphia. How often have I talked about the fact that my life was steeped in history, especially with the founding fathers and, you know, the whole Declaration of Independence and all that. And I'm always talking about the Constitution and how you need to go and see that Constitution Center to realize what it's all about. Joining us on the show is Princeton professor Daniel Cloud, who talks about why did the founding fathers hold liberty to be the most essential element in a free society. And he says it's because typically nobody gets, nobody knows, nobody understands rationally what will work well, and we need the liberty to try things different, to try different things out, even if things that seem stupid or wrong. That's a little snippet from something that he wrote in his book, The Lily Evolution, Play and Power of a Free Society. Thanks for coming back on, Professor. We appreciate it.
Great. Great to be here.
So what did you find in your research in pulling this all together?
Well, what I'm really trying to understand is the incredible success of free societies in the modern world. In the last 500 years, this social model, this type of society, has come up against a lot of other types of society, and it's won every time. So when we tell the story about why it's important to have a free society, we tend to tell it in moral terms. Well, this is the right way to live, or it protects us. But I just wanted to understand from a sort of a technical, practical point of view, why do free societies always seem to win in the end?
Yeah, and why is it? Why do free societies always seem to win? Because they can come up with more in an ingenious way to develop things.
Well, yeah. If you look at the historical where and when in history, free societies have tended to do well. What you always find them paired with is fairly rapid technological change and fairly rapid scientific progress. That's partly because free societies are good for producing science, and it's partly because science requires you to have a free society, because what you're dealing with, as soon as you start really having sciences move forward, is you're dealing with a lot of new stuff that nobody's ever seen before. Somebody comes up with a telescope, and you've got to figure out what it's for. And people just aren't smart enough to figure out, sort of off of the top of their heads, all of the things that a telescope might lead to. So when you start having a lot of new inventions, you need a social model that allows a lot of different people to try a lot of different things out and keep what works. And capital is sort of our way of keeping track of what's been working and of who's good at figuring out what's going to work. You know, nobody could have really guessed when the first automobile was invented that the result of this was going to be eventually that people were going to be serving hamburgers on roller skates. But that was one of the social consequences of the invention of the automobile. And so you need the kind of society. I mean, the real genesis of this for me was I spent a lot of time in China and Russia in the 1990s trying to put those places back together. And I was interested in what the people there thought had been the problem, why they thought they had lost the Cold War. What they said was, we could just never keep up with you technologically. Scientifically, we're just as smart as you are. You know, the Russians were very proud of their sciences. But then when it comes to trying to translate the stuff into practical, working machines and ideas that were really socially useful, they would do it in a kind of a monolithic top-down way. Somebody at the top would say, well, we've invented this new thing, and this is what we think it's for, so everybody's gonna try and use it for the same thing. The power of a free society is that you let people try lots of different ways of using new technology and lots of different ways of developing new skills around new technology, and then you let them sort it out by competition. And what I came away from China and Russia with was the idea that probably the most important social technology of the modern West is the limited contest, mm-hmm. is the contest between two corporations or two people in a court of law or two people in a parliament or a senate, where you don't go all the way to killing the other person, where there are rules, where there are limits. Conflict is okay. Most societies are, it seems to me, most of the other places I've been, they're about trying to get people to do what they're told. But our society is about putting people in the ring together and letting them duke it out, letting them sort out which way of doing things is going to end up being the most effective.
Well, and that also speaks to capitalism. Did you find that was obviously part of the problem with China and Russia too?
You know, I thought it was interesting that capitalism and free societies have always historically gone together. There's never been a society in which you really had the rule of law and personal rights were protected that didn't have private property. And, you know, so what people were interested in China and Russia when I was there, they were trying to switch over to a market economic system. And what they were asking me was, well, which of these ingredients are really essential? We know we have to have markets, and we know we have to have private property. But what about all this free speech stuff? And what about all mm-hmm. this rights of free association stuff? And what about all this legalism that you people do? Is that stuff really necessary? And, you know, I think it is. I think that you don't understand our social model until you understand that it's a model in which the right answer is found by evolution, not by somebody imagining what the right way is for people to live. And you've got to have all the, from a practical, I mean, morally, the rule of law is desirable and individual rights are desirable, but also from a practical point of view, you've got to have them because that's what creates a level playing field. That's what creates a situation in which people can articulate lots of different ideas and try things out without being interfered with. And my criticism of China and Russia is that they really only so far have done the reforms halfway. They've put in enough of a market economy to allow things to kind of basically function like a modern society, but they haven't put in the part that generates the novelties, the new adaptations, the new ways of doing things. There's still way too much central planning and way too much top-down decision-making. And the educational system in China, at least, what it's all about is getting people to believe the right thing. What the American educational system is about is it's all about letting people experiment and figure out what they think is the right thing. So I think, I think that the reforms in those places, they've really only kind of made it halfway to a really modern free society. And part of the point of the book is to try and explain to them why are the ingredients that they're still missing, why are those practically important over the long term.
Right, the ability, as you say this, you have to, that you actually, in everything you've described with the competition, et cetera, the conflict is good, limited conflict, of course, you don't want to kill each other, but talking about the corporation versus corporation was a great example of that. And just on the individual level, you talk about benefiting from uncertainty in our daily lives. That makes the difference. That's how you achieve some of these things that we've seen achieved. Is that right?
Yeah, well, part of the key to the whole thing for me was figuring out that in economics as it is now, we have really no story about why profit is possible. If you look at the models that the economists make, it seems as if somebody has a new idea or a new way of doing things, so many people should jump on that same idea and should bring in resources and labor to do it, that by the end, all of the profit should be wiped out by competition. And yet, if you look at our society, actually profit is a really important part of the way the economy functions, and profit mm-hmm. is a really important motive in people's lives. People are trying to make money. So how can you reconcile the fact that the models tell you there shouldn't be any such thing with the fact that this is really what drives the whole society? And so my idea about profit is that profit is the result of a specific type of uncertainty. That I guess you have to make a distinction between risk and uncertainty. What I would call risk is something like the risk of having an automobile accident or the risk of having a heart attack. It's the sort of thing that happens over and over and over to lots of different people, and it can be estimated. Uncertainty is you're Bill Gates and you're a kid thinking about dropping out of Harvard in the late 1960s or early 1970s, and somebody says to you, well, there's this thing, an operating system. Do you think it's worth any money? Well, that's not like the risk of a heart attack or an automobile accident, because it's something that nobody has ever encountered before. There's never been an operating system for a computer before in human history. And you've got to take a leap on something that nobody's ever tried before. That's where all the profit in a capitalist economy comes from, is people making good judgments about exactly that sort of uncertainty. And that's why you have to have this sort of society to really be able to deal with new technologies, because you have to cultivate the ability in people to make judgments about kinds of risks that nobody's ever seen before, and to get it to come out right. A guy like Steve Jobs, his great talent was to see something completely new that no human being had ever seen before in our history, and to say, ah, I know what that's for.
Exactly.
I know what people would want to use that for. Well, that's where all of the money gets made, is with genuinely new things. And so for people in their own lives, I mean, just from the point of view of investing, you're if you're looking for something perfectly safe, or you're looking for something where you can always find an example in the past of how that's worked out well for people, you're never going to make any money. Because all of the money that actually gets made in our kind of society gets made basically
risk.
On things that have never been tried before.
Yeah.
So you've got to go out on a limb a little bit.
To be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, to be able to
yeah.
do that.
Yeah. Terrific stuff. Princeton professor Daniel Cloud, pick up his book, The Lily Evolution, Play and the Power of a Free Society. Professor, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Tonight, we've had him on the show a couple times. Really like this guy, Horace Cooper, of the Black Leadership Group Project 21. This time, this is what we're talking about, what's going on in Michigan. We're talking about Michigan's proposal to require drug tests for welfare recipients. Now, there's a lot of people who are upset by this, but there's just as many people who think this is such a win. It's a win for the welfare folks. It's a win for the taxpayers. Horace, I know what you're going to say on this one, but share some thoughts on it. When, first of all, when you got wind of what was happening in Michigan and the idea they took that the vote to require the welfare folks over age 18 to pass a drug test, what was your initial reaction to that?
Well, you know, the first thing that you mentioned and the order that you mentioned, I think, is important. This is a win for the people who are on welfare as well as the taxpayer. Most people look at this issue critically and say that we're only concerned about the taxpayer. Well, first of all, they're legitimate. They're real concerns about the people who struggle hard, who pay their taxes, and are charitable and generous enough to say that we want to offer help to people who are in need. The flip side of that
is that we actually want people who are in a dependency state to be able to move to an independent state. And this idea that drug users would somehow be compatible with moving to an independent state is actually laughable. I would say that it was a sign of the compassion and caring on the part of the advocates that they understand that the children that grow up in households where parents are recreational drug users, or that the individuals themselves who are never going to be able to get their act together, become independent, join the taxpayers, and be able to decide their own fate if they are trapped in the lifestyle of recreational drug use. This is a really, really big advantage and something to be thrilled about. There are about 28 states in the last legislative cycle that are considering measures like these. And the problem is critics like the ACLU are going to make it harder by threatening lawsuits that are going to cost millions of dollars and create months of delay.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's some people that will say, well, geez, aren't we stereotyping people? And isn't that, oh, Horace, how can you say that? Because there's so many good people who are just in bad situations. But I think you pointed that out. Well, great. Then everyone will know that they're clean, that it's no problem, and nobody can come back and say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I mean, really, it is a win-win.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have are that it's very difficult for government to separate the two types of people that are often on the welfare rolls. There are those who have tried and they're struggling and they're really trying to do the best that they can and just are having some bad luck and they really need some help. And then there are those who will not take the steps, will not choose to be independent, will simply wallow in their sense of entitlement. It is difficult to be able to ascertain the difference between those two. What we know is if you give a person who really is trying, who really wants to, if you give them a trade, a skill, an opportunity, those people will jump at it. But what we also know is drug abuse prevents people from being able to be clear-headed, prevents people from being able to make the rational decisions that are in their own best interest. The children in those situations, we know, have a higher dropout rate, they have a higher illiteracy rate, they have a higher initiation of sexual activity rate earlier and more frequent. They also have a higher drug use rate, arrest rate. Lots of problems associated with being in a household where this kind of behavior is happening. If you're in a situation where mom or dad or both can't find a job and you're finding income is tight and you add on to that one or two are drug users, that's a recipe for failure for the children involved and for the adults involved. Any rational system that is really trying to say among the things, and of course we don't argue that drug testing is a solution for every problem, but among the techniques that we need to employ to separate out those who really do want to try, who really are wanting to make an effort, that's a good technique. And let's remember, we don't tell people, these programs aren't telling you, oh, you use drugs, get out of here, we're never going to talk to you again. Actually, you are given an opportunity for a taxpayer-funded drug treatment program. But first, we have to identify who those people are. And second, we need to know, are you willing to stop? Are you willing to try? Are you willing to take some help and assistance? In the state of Florida, before the ACLU was able to shut the program down, there were some 70,000 people who said, I don't want to participate in the welfare system at all. I don't want the check. My children don't need the check. I don't need any of the assistance. What that told us was there was a large number of people who were gaming the system, who were manipulating the system, and weren't actually trying to transfer themselves from a point of dependency to a point of independence.
Yeah, boy, and that's good to know all of that. And as you said, a chance to be able to do that, to get off of the drugs to get off of the situation, the addiction that they're wallowing in, to be sure. So 28 states will consider this. In Michigan, this would be basically a pilot program. So, of course, naturally the idea is to see what's working, how it works. And that would kick in 2015, if I understand right. Is that right, Horace?
That's correct. Now, the issue that we have and the reason why we're so thrilled about this is we're wanting to let states know it's safe to get out in the water. Come on, the water's nice. This is a useful tool to help, again, separate out the population that really will try to take advantage of any help that society is giving and want to better themselves from those that really don't want to make those kinds of changes. The ACLU, we put out a white paper at the National Center making it clear what the state of the law is. We still are tracking the Florida case. We are very confident that Florida ultimately is going to prevail. I'm personally frustrated, I'm sure your listeners are as well, that it's going to cost money, taxpayer dollars, so that the state of Florida can do the very thing that we know the law allows them to do. But unfortunately, one liberal district judge decides on her own that it's okay, Judge Scribner, to stop this, delay it, hold it back, and allow this to ultimately have to be resolved either in an appellate court or potentially have to even go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and Michigan has been down this road too. Before you bring up the ACLU, they did have a drug testing program in '99, but it was stopped because of the ACLU, right?
They got a district court judge to do the very same thing, and instead of appealing it, because it was a change in governors and attorney generals, the decision was made not to pursue it. What we do know is that the 1996 Welfare Reform Act explicitly authorizes drug testing for states, and there are a number of precedents by the courts that allow, as long as a threshold is set so that it's not a completely random drug testing regimen, that the courts have upheld those and recognized that those are sensible ways for the taxpayers and the individuals themselves to be protected.
Yeah, do you think if we were to, I love to look in the crystal ball, Horace, if we were to look down the road 10 years from now, do you think that this will pass muster and a lot of this will be implemented?
Oh, I do. I see this as a direction where we're headed. I would say to the president and I would say to the secretary of HHS, President Bill Clinton helped turn around his reelection prospects in 1996 by agreeing to embrace welfare reform. This is wildly popular. It's over 75% of Americans recognize it. The academicians that study this say that these kinds of intervention efforts are far more effective than simply just saying I'm going to hand people a check and hope for the best. And so I see this as the direction that we're going, and I would say right, left, Democrat, Republican, whatever your political affiliation is, if you were to stand up and be the leader in this, you would find a lot of Americans willing to give you accolades because of the leadership role you're showing.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I'd love to see that implemented. It makes so much sense. And I love your example of Bill Clinton. People forget that for sure. Horace Cooper, adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. And he, of course, the author, he mentioned a drug testing of welfare recipients, saying it sounds sensible and constitutional. That paper was actually released back in November 2011. And this is following, as Horace mentioned, that Florida challenge. Horace, thanks as always for stopping by America Tonight.
Thanks for having me in your program. Always enjoy.